A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 5, 2000, in the series The God Question, entitled The World Is Not Enough. The texts for the sermon are Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 through 11, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 19, and Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
In this interim between my return from vacation and the beginning of Lent, I have been mulling over with you the question of God, the question of God that will not go away, remarking about the fact that God is alive and well on planet Earth, and rather surprisingly so, because as I have indicated a time or two, it would have seemed at mid-century that the obituary of God was in order. And indeed, there were those radical theologians who spoke of the death of God. And in the dark horror of the Nazi prison camp, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had spoken about man come of age, about edging God out of the world. And Harvey Cox wrote his best-selling book, The Secular City, which celebrated secularity and life lived on a horizontal plane, and as a theologian tried to find traces of God, footprints of God in the secular city. And now here, having entered into the 21st century, we find that there is indication everywhere that religion is strong and vital, and the question of God simply will not go away. It is a surprise. Sigmund Freud, to whom I referred last week, may be the epitome of modernity, of modern scientific thinking, was convinced that science and religion were mortal enemies and that religion had to be cleared out in order for the human society to come into its maturity and live by its reason, by its intellect, putting away its wishful thinking and its superstitions, the superstitions that abound in all of the religions and that have been a big part of the origin of religion. But Freud was wrong. Not that religion had not fought for 300 years a losing battle, a losing intellectual battle, but rather that the human being can live out of his or her mind alone, that intellect is enough, that if we could only rid ourselves of our religion and our superstitious ways, we could live out of the intellect by reason and thus come to maturity. That hasn't proven to be the case. The God question just simply doesn't go away, because contrary to what Freud expected, our problem is not knowledge, but it is something far deeper. The intuition of a deeper reality. We have knowledge. We are awash in knowledge. And the super information highway runs right to our laptop computers and our personal computers at our side. We have a command of knowledge of the modern world, of the universe, of society, and of our own human being, far surpassing the possibility of ever taking it in. And it's all right there at our fingertips. But knowledge in itself is not the answer. Simply to describe what is doesn't deal with its meaning, its significance, those ultimate existential questions about whence have I come and whither am I going and is this all there is and what is the meaning of it all? Those are religious questions. And they are of another sort than the knowledge that is the consequence of the use of the intellect and the rational processes of our minds. Someone just gave $350 million to MIT for the study of the brain. Wonderful. The brain is a great mystery. There's a tremendous amount of investigative focus on the brain. But once we have come to be able to describe the brain fully, it's still not synonymous with understanding of that mental activity which is touched with spirit, which probes a deeper layer than that which is available to empirical investigation and research. Knowledge aplenty. We can know the whole world, but the world is not enough. Nor is the world that we can possess. Aren't you somewhat amazed at the wealth that is around today? The wealth that is everywhere, it seems. And even the least of us are among the wealthy of the world. And who of us has to deny ourselves very much in the way of creature comfort or pleasure or toys or globe-trotting to exotic places? We are bombarded day by day with the seduction of saying that one more trip or one more toy will make it all right. The study out last week, 16 minutes and 43 seconds of every hour you watch television is given over to consumerism, making of us materialists, acquisitors. Robert Bell, the American sociologist, wrote something that I jotted down. In the moment my eye fell on it, something to the effect that to secure happiness by material acquisition is denied by every religion and philosophy known to humankind. And yet it is preached on every American television set. Pleasure, toys, adventures. Wasn't that second chapter of Ecclesiastes taken as a script from our own contemporary life? The king who indulged himself without limit, denied himself nothing that his heart set itself upon, who ended up with his famous phrase, vanity, all is vanity, which has been translated also absurdity. All is absurdity, or emptiness, chasing the wind. Because you can have it all and have nothing. Because the world is not enough. The writer of the letter to Timothy says the same thing, warning those of us who are rich in this world not to be haughty or to set our hope on uncertain riches, but rather on God. And of course, Jesus' parable, well, if Jesus had been with Nancy and me in Naples this year, he wouldn't have talked about tearing down barns and building bigger barns. He would have talked about tearing down houses and building palaces. If you have a lot with a view with a house of only 16 rooms, what are you to do? You just have to knock it down and build another one, bigger and better. We have such availability of resources that there is very little that we have to deny ourselves. And yet, I get the impression that we are simply more frenzied than ever. My Sony stock took a big hike this week. It's wonderful. I could thought about how much more I can give to Christ's community. 23 points, I think. And I wondered why until in the news, the world news last night, I noticed that, what is it? PlayStation 2 is coming out. I didn't know there was PlayStation 1. I hadn't gotten beyond my grandchildren's Game Boys. But apparently there was PlayStation 1, and now coming out in Japan is PlayStation 2. And thousands of people sat up all night in the bone-chilling cold in Japan in order to be in line to get one of the 2 million PlayStations available on opening day. And stores had signs that they were sold out before they could open the door. And there was a frenzy of activity. And I watched as the people were playing these things, you know, these little things that go with buttons. The intensity. I mean, they were absolutely out of this world. The intensity with which they were playing. And this isn't just a game. This thing, well, I don't understand it. But it apparently is like having in the palm of your hand a connection to everything you'd ever want to be connected to in the whole world. And they interviewed one young lady who sort of had a smile on her face and said, "Oh, I just love it. I couldn't live without it." And all the PlayStations in the world won't fill the hole in the soul or give one a peaceful heart. The question of God won't go away. And in our day, we have such possibilities. Endless learning, limitless pleasure, toys galore, the whole world to travel. But the scriptures, which are ancient, sound like they were written yesterday when they remind us that a life not built on God is a life that will ultimately unravel and come apart. It used to be easier to preach about this kind of stuff. I don't do this very much. It's probably because it's more difficult now, because God isn't some superhuman person just above the sky. God isn't some King Almighty who's turning the gears of the universe and pulling the strings of people. God is not that external deity that runs things and rules things. When God was that for me, I knew how to tell you how to please and appease that God. And with a sermon like this, particularly if you just bought a new lot with a view and planned to tear down the house on it and build a new one, you'd go out of here with guilt so heavy it'd probably take you another 7 days to recover. The pulpit traditionally in the church has been wonderfully eloquent in the imposition of guilt. crabby about people who have done well, who are successful, who are having a good time in life. That's not the point. I don't quite know how to do it with a conception of God so radically altered as it is for me, and I think for many of you. It's not to please or appease some external ruler who holds us accountable and is ready to call in our guilt. But how do we live with a God that is not outside but inside? How do we live in harmony with a God who is the inexhaustible ground and source of all being, the creative spirit within the process, this process, this cosmic process of 15 billion years that has been unfolding and developing and emerging, of which we are a part, out of which we have emerged, we who are the outposts of spirit, as it were, we who have come to consciousness and awareness, who are the containers of spirit, who allow spirit voice, who are able to be conscious of the wonder of it all, the amazement of this whole fantastic drama, and we're a part of it. How do we live with the God consciousness of the God who is not threatening just beyond the blue, but who is part and parcel of the process itself within us, the spirit that would come to expression through us? Isn't it a matter of becoming comfortable in our skin? Isn't it a matter of being at home in the world? Isn't it to find delight in being a part of the whole wonderful process? Knowledge isn't the problem. It's just not the answer. And wealth isn't the problem, except if we've set our heart on it. But all things are ours to enjoy. If we come to the consciousness of God, who is, once again, that inexhaustible ground of all being, that present spirit that energizes all and enlivens all, that God who calls us to know ourselves. And I wonder, finally, if I would come to know myself, would that be to know God? And I don't know how to tell you to do it. Some of you would do it, perhaps with me, in a class, where we go at it in an intellectual fever. Some of you could better walk the labyrinth with Tony. All of us need to pause now and again and hear the questions of our existence, which are the questions that are the voice of God. To be still and know that God is God. And if God is God and I live in that awareness, then all will be well. All manner of things will be well.